Now, good morning. There we go. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we come before you this morning and we give you praise and thank you, Lord, again and again for your love and your mercy toward us. We thank you, Lord, for the birth of your Son, our Savior. We're thankful, Lord, for the beginning of a new year. We praise you, Lord, because you are God, Savior, King, and Redeemer. Lord, open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Nice to see you all here this morning. We're a little sparse earlier. It's starting to fill in a little bit. Prayer cards are in front of you. Please, if you have prayer requests, fill those out and pass them toward the center when the kids come around to collect. I can't think of anything else that's going on this morning that I should be remembering. If you've had something happen to you and need prayer, make sure you write out a prayer card. I just happen to be looking in that direction. just write out those prayer requests so we can pray over them. Okay. If you guys had half that energy. Wow. Good morning. Good morning. As you know, I had a very interesting few days, and I need to praise God for all that he's done in keeping my wife safe and healthy and in her right mind. So, that being said, open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. We're going to start a new chapter. We got through chapter 1. That's awesome. So, according to what I've been able to understand and what I've been able to read, these three verses we're going to look at today should have been in the last chapter. And when I was doing my studies for the last sermon that I did on 1 Peter, there was too much to make it all fit. So you get two sermons out of this instead of just one, jumping into this about growing up. Okay, that's what we're going to look at. We're to grow up. We're to mature. We're to not stay the same, right? We're ever changing. Everything changes around us constantly, and we think we don't have to. Am I right? I mean, we don't like change. I don't like change. I want to have my meal ready at a certain time, and I want a meat and a vegetable and a potato. And then my wife comes in and has this great idea, and we get something else, which is great. Every now and then, it's nice to have change. Just don't change my pizza. So, let me read this to you. Just as chapter 2, starting at verse 1, just three verses. So put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy, and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The first verse starts out with so, or therefore, depending on your translations, right? So it's referring back to everything that was just said. Because we as Christians have been born again, we must no longer live like the world. Since it is written, and let's go way back, you shall be holy for I am holy. We can't live like the world anymore. As we live out the holiness we have in Christ, having purified our souls by our obedience to the truth, the Word of God, we are to put away all the immoral practices of the world. All of them. Here we are told that we are to put all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. I'm not going to go into what each one of those is. You should know what it is to be a hypocrite. You know what it is to slander somebody. You know what it is to have malice. That's being angry or goes beyond that a little bit. But all of those things have got to go, as we are told in 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that all that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Corinthians 3 tells us to put to death, right? Not just to get away from it, but to put to death what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, the truth, after the image of its creator. Here in the church, right? Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Now that's verses 5 through 11 from Colossians 3. But Paul keeps talking to the different churches, and in Ephesians he tells us, sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. The world is really after us with empty words, trying to get us to come to be a part of what they're doing. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. How do we discern that? Through the Word. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. If we don't get that we're to put it all away by now, right? I mean, he's told us that in four different chapters. Peter says it. He's saying it in three. And in these passages, we see three things. One, we are to put away, put off, put to death. There is not to be anything that would come between those of the church, Christians, and our Lord. Nothing is to separate us. Nor is there to be anything that would cause disunity within the congregations of his church. Since we are told in 1 Peter 1:22 that due to our obedience we are to have a sincere love for one another. Love is not just something you feel, it's something you do. Two, we are told that some of us were, past tense, right? Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers. 1 Corinthians 6. We were once that way. That we all once lived like the world, right? Walked like the world, Colossians 3. And that we were darkness, Ephesians 5. But see, the third thing that's there is a but. What happens when somebody gives you all this good stuff and then they say, but? Everything that they just said is what? When they're right out the window. But. The one here in 1 Peter is unspoken, as those then and many today have purified themselves by their obedience to the truth. But you have, we've been obedient. We've purified ourselves. That's unspoken there. Since we are of the truth, we no longer live like the world. The but in 1 Corinthians 6 is, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. That's awesome news for us. We don't have to worry about those things. In Colossians 3, you have put off the old self with its practices. Something that we have already done as Christians. We're to put off the old self. We are putting off the old self, or we have put off the old self. It's gone. It's dead. It's been crucified. And you put on the new life that we have in Christ. In Ephesians 5, but now you are light in the Lord. As a Christian, you are light in the Lord. And you're to carry that light out into the world. And the instruction that is given in those is to live as God's holy people. It's given to His church. To those who believe. Christians. To us both here and in the scriptures I just read. Right? To those people then. As a Christian, you are not of the world. You are not to live according to the flesh. You have been cleansed and empowered to live in holiness. Romans chapter 8, 11 through 15. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But, there's that word again, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of the King. It's a new year. You have new life in Christ. We need to make sure that the old is gone. But we have somebody that is doing everything in His power to bring about a resurrection. A resurrection of your old self. We have to be on top of things. We have to be alert and aware. We are not like those who are unaware of God, of the schemes of the enemy. He's scheming constantly to see you fall. He's going to tempt you any way He can. He's going to keep you off balance as much as He can so that you're not doing what you're called to do and being who you're called to be. How can we show the world our love for one another within the church if we are acting like the world? That's what He's warning them against, right? Put away all malice and all those other things that we were told about that I lost the page on. Malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Those things have got to go. If they're taking place within the body, within the congregations of His church, are they truly saved and walking with the Lord? Are we, if we're doing those things? Ships don't sink because of the water around them. They sink because the water gets in them. And we've got to make sure that the world doesn't become into the church. We have to be very careful about what we allow into our lives so that we do not carry it into the church. As I said, the new year is coming, and it is time to look at what we allow into our lives and what we have that God clearly has said to get rid of. Because there are some things that we still hang on to. Like newborn infants, we must long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word. Of the Word. Infants need milk. As they grow older, they need solid foods. We see it taking place with our kids. We see it taking place with the kids that are running around us. We don't give little Eli a T-bone steak and expect him to eat it. He's going to be there chewing on that for a while if he is. He gets things that are fit for his age. We have to be very careful. As they grow older, they do need those solid foods. But we are to crave or long for the Word of God. To crave it like pure spiritual milk. Right? The truth, God's Word, has all we need within its pages to sustain us spiritually. There are truth within to satisfy those who are just born again. The babes in Christ, as we call them. And there is meat that must be chewed upon as well. And that meat is revealed for those who seek to continue and grow and mature as we are ready. As you continue on, you're going to find that there are some things that I really have to chew on it to make sure I understand it, that I'm getting what I need out of it. Every year, I try to read through the Bible. Either it's in its entirety, or this year, as I told you, I'm doing a systematic study Bible, so I'm going to be reading all that extra that's on the bottom, just to get a little bit of a different understanding, let's call it. A little insight that I may not have gotten. And every time I read through it, I'm nourished. I'm nourished with some insight or revelation, some understanding. I will tell you that there are times that sometimes I'm reading it, it's a little bit more than I can chew up and swallow at one sitting. That I sometimes have to take this to some of my friends and accountability partners, other pastors, other people, and say, listen, this is what I found. What do you get out of this? Because I'm not getting it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We can all do that. We need to find somebody else that we can turn to so that we can grow in our understanding. And I need other people's. We need other people's insights and perspectives that maybe will help us to understand a little better. I am truly convinced that there is no such thing as coincidence. How many of you believe that it just happened and it just worked out that way? I don't. What amazed me is where we're at in the Word. 1 Peter just sounded like God was leading me that way. I read some things and just going, okay, well then we'll do 1 Peter. It's the end of the year, and I believe that our being in 1 Peter, where we have looked at the Word of God last week and again this week, is not random chance. I don't believe that it is. It is the opportunity for all of us to grow in the knowledge of God. His purpose for us as a congregation and for each of us as individuals to grow in the grace and knowledge, the understanding of God. It's time to take the challenge. Find someone to hold you accountable and read the Word of God. If you don't want to read it, listen to it. You can listen to it while you drive. I'm going to give my age away. CDs for years. You know, they used to have them in your car. I had to drive 50 minutes. I went through the Bible about 2.5 times listening to it for 50 minutes. Within a year, just driving. At least once a day, listening to it. Sometimes on the way home, I wouldn't listen to it again. But in the mornings, always did. You get a different take on it, listening to it, than you do reading it. Don't ask me why. I'm not the one to design this. He did. But he knows what he's doing. So if you've read it a few times and you want a different perspective, then listen to it. But it will change who you are for the better. And then you know what else we need to do? Pray. We need to pray. That we, as we read and study God's word, the truth, in the coming year, we will be renewed in knowledge after the image of our Lord and our God, which is what we read about in Colossians 3, verse 10, by the way. So that we can grow up into salvation. And did you notice that this is the pure spiritual milk that we are to crave? And I say that, even though I just told you that I was going to be doing a study Bible, I highly encourage you finding a Bible that doesn't tell you everything it wants you to know. That some commentaries in it or ideas, just find one that has the word in it. And read that for yourself. Because it will make more sense to you than having somebody tell you this is what it means. Because you can see for yourselves. There's nobody here that can't do that. You can either listen to it or read it yourself. But crave the pure spiritual milk of God. That way you won't get a denominational or a traditional swing on things. You'll be able to understand it for yourselves. If you have trouble finding something or understanding something, then find a mature Christian or somebody else that's reading it with you. Hey, what did you get out of this? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Come and talk to me. I can steer you wrong any day. I will try not to do that. We need the life-giving word. God nourishes, sustains, grows, and corrects us through his word. It is as vital to the infant as it is to the aged, and it is only through the word that we can grow spiritually. It is where God reveals himself, his purpose for us, and it also produces a longing for more. The more you get into it, the more you'll want to read it. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now I want to pause right there. It's not for the person sitting next to you. It's for you. We're real good at, did you hear that? Did you hear what the Bible, did you see what it says? You should do this. No, they may, but guess who that's directed to? You, right? It's directed to each one of us. Verse 17. For training in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God, servant, depending on your translation, of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We were created for a reason. There it is. For every good work. Verse 3 ends this whole section on the word, right? Have you found? Have you tasted that the Lord is good? Yesterday, we took Mom out for her birthday a day late to BJ's restaurant, brewery, whatever. Some of the best food I've ever had. I had a hamburger, and then I had some brisket, and then there was bacon. How could I go wrong? I mean, it was delicious. I'm telling you all that because it tasted so good. I'm sharing what I learned yesterday, right? We can do the same with the Word of God. We should be doing the same with the Word of God. You should be excited when something is revealed to you and share it with someone. Pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, listen, I was just reading this, and guess what? I never got this before because God just revealed it to me. Do you know how many times I read through Galatians and never got 5:6 where it says that neither circumcision or uncircumcision count for anything but only the love of God to build your faith? I'm really messing it up. I never got that love of God was not my love for him, but his love for me. God reveals himself through his word as you read it and listen or listen to it. Getting a 20-minute to a half-hour sermon is only going to get you a little bit of scripture. Now, this morning you got a lot because I read through a lot of other verses that support what Peter's saying, which is the way we should look at it when we study it. Where else have I read about that? There's a lot of good places out there where you can Google, and I'm using that word, you can Google it as well. Where else can you find it? It gives you. Bible Hub is excellent because it pulls up a bunch of other, it'll pull up all the different translations, but it also gives you other places to look where it came from so you can back it up. And yes, I do use that. It is the Word of God that reveals not only God's will for us, but also the Lord himself. It reveals him to us. He reveals himself to us through his word. And the word shows us that the Lord is good. It's awesome that way. It is time to move forward. It is time to mature. It is time to grow up and be what you were created to be. And that can only happen in and through the Word of God. Do we get that? There are reading programs for the New Testament right back there behind those yellow, you can't miss it going out the door. Outside, out there in the foyer in the rack is a reading program for the whole year. Grab one. And then grab a hold of somebody and say, hey, you need to remind me and I'll remind you that we need to read the Bible. And we're going to start this bright and early or late in the evening, whatever works for you, on the first. And then go from there. I will tell you that the New Testament reading program, I keep saying program, but there's another word I want to use, lets you have the weekends off. So you don't have to read on Saturdays and Sundays. That's time where you're supposed to make up for what you didn't read earlier and also to help you to get caught up on some other Bible study. So I want to encourage you to get a reading plan. That's the word. Reading plan. And follow it. And find somebody to do one with you because it will help you. Both these that use you at home, use at home. Where's Martha's not in here. I can get away with it. You at home and those of you who are here. Find somebody. Read the word. I can't tell you what it's done for me and for mine. God loves you. Says so right in the word. He wants what's best for you. Says so right in the word. Weren't you created? And weren't you a part of his good works? God wants a relationship with you, and it can only happen through the Word. Would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, we are truly grateful for your love and your mercy, for your grace and your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that we have the Spirit-inspired, God-breathed Word of your word, Lord, the word of God. That, Lord, you teach us and lead us and guide us through your word. That you build a relationship with us through your word. That you reveal yourself through your word. Help us, Lord, to be in the word. Stir our hearts. Place within us a hunger and thirst that knows no end. Until we're right there, Lord, where you would have us to be. In the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good. And he has given us, he's given you his Word. I can't do any more than what I have to encourage you to read it. Get involved. Find a class. At least get involved in one of the classes. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Lord, we again thank you for your love and your mercy toward us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Write it upon our hearts and minds. Make it a part of who we are in our everyday lives. Remind us again, Lord, each and every Sunday, each and every Tuesday, each and every day of the week, that you are God and Savior, King and Redeemer, and that you love us with a love that knows no end. In Jesus' name, I ask this. I ask also, Lord, that you bless this time of fellowship and the food that we are about to partake in. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.